Welcome to Full Circle with Jerry Bryant. It's the classic Jesus music radio show. It's a look back at where it all began. This is Full Circle, looking back at the beginnings of today's contemporary Christian music. Now here's your host, Jerry Bryant.
Fill me with your spirit.
Hi, everybody. This is Jerry Bryant, revisiting the career of singer-songwriter musician Rick Rizzo, a voice that helped shape the smoother jazz-funk side of Jesus music with a band called Messenger. And then later moved into solo and worship recordings. A lot of great songs, so stay with me as we get started with Fill Me With Your Spirit.
I was blind, living my life alone. I was hopelessly unkind. Then I realized when you opened up my eyes, only through your spirit could I be satisfied. So
fill me with your spirit.
Everything I need, and with your spirit you give me love and joy and peace. With your spirit there's freedom from all strife, and with your spirit you've given me new life. According to his promise to those who are his saints, in Jesus we'll abide, in him we can confide. Through times of tribulation, the Spirit is our guide. So
fill me with your Spirit.
Give me the power, Lord.
Fill me with your Spirit. Ooh,
yeah.
Fill me with your Spirit.
Give me power from on high.
Fill me with your Spirit.
It gives me everlasting life. Everything I need, and with your spirit you give me love and joy and peace. With your spirit there's freedom from all strife, and with your spirit you've given me new life.
Not by power
or by our might,
but by your spirit.
He will keep us in the light.
Not by power
or by our might,
Rick, it's really great to have you on the show. We've tried for some time now, and you know, it's always a joy to talk to someone who's had a lot of longevity, like you and I. And you know, if I remember, you've done at least 14, 15 recordings, more than a lot of Jesus music people by far. I mean, a lot of people just do other things, Yeah. You really don't know how to stop, do you?
I kind of think of myself these days, Jerry, as the ever-ready bunny. You know, as it keeps on going, it's sort of like the old Timex watch. You know, takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Especially if you're ticking for Jesus, man, you know that's never going to stop.
I don't know how to explain it. I picked up your album years ago, and you know, a really sleek, jazzy pop rock trio, and. You know, there were, it seemed to me at the time it was an equal parts of George Benson, Seawin, maybe Sweet Comfort Band, Steve Lawrence, including some cocktail crooning in his highest order. Let me ask, who played keyboards for you on that first release back in 1975?
Yeah, it was actually, I believe it was in pretty close. Yeah, we actually recorded it, I think it was in 75, and it was released in 76 on Light Records. My dear partner, Cy Simonson. Cy was definitely and continues to be just a musical genius. I mean, he's a guy that not only had the among the highest degrees of musicality of guys that I'd work with, but he also had such a heart for the Lord. And I'll never forget how we were able to meet. We met at a conference center one time, Mount Hermon in the Central California, in the Santa Cruz area. And I was there doing some sort of leadership music for the weekend. And a young gal, teenage gal, came up to me. She says, you know, there's a guy that I know, and he plays piano like you sing. I've never forgotten that. She says, and I'm going to introduce you to him. And I'll tell you what, Jerry, it was definitely a God thing. I got to meet Cy. At that point, I was in motion moving from Northern California down to do my first master's degree at Fuller Seminary. And Cy had moved down working for a keyboard company there. And we hooked up and immediately sensed a fundamental rightness and a calling about the fact that God was bringing us together. And that was the birth of Messenger.
You take somebody like a Cy who he's so good on everything, piano,
yes,
Fender Rhodes, Hammond organ, synthesizer,
spring
ensembles. And here he comes alongside you. What a great way to start a group. You know, maybe you didn't see it coming, but you were doing these, I felt like, really wonderful, rich croons. That's what I call it, C-R-O-O-N.
Sure.
And then you had Jim DeLong playing bass along.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit of disco, a little bit of funk, you know. But Messenger really made an imprint on many of us. Let me ask, any other background singers in the time of the two albums, any other instruments that were involved in those two albums?
You know, quite a few. One of the things that really factored into the sound of Messenger is that all three of us in the core group of Messenger were studio musicians. Not so much me for my guitar playing, although I was featured on a few albums back in those days, but mostly as a vocalist. To date, I have actually sung on over 300 CDs or albums, probably about 100 movie soundtracks and countless commercials, television, radio shows, whatever. And the deal is, after all those years, decades of doing it, I go back to those roots because so much was already in place when I met Cy and when I met Jim, and our collective talents and gifts and experiences musically created the very thing that you had mentioned when you mentioned Messenger's sound. It had all these various musical elements. You know, I'm kind of a jazz-infused rhythm and blues singer, big band. I've done many, many big band projects. So I have musical sensibilities that kind of go from the big band era through rhythm and blues, the Motown sound, and all that stuff like that. And that blended with Cy's background, you know, coming from Louisiana and all that great sound there, sound palette, it just created a unique offering, pretty much so unique that it was ahead of its time. You need to remember, the Jesus People movement, as you know, as a Christian music historian, was just getting underway. Chuck Girard, his dear brother who's just gone to be with Jesus, dear brother for many years, we talked about that not long ago before he passed, talking about how I got into it about 2 years before the Jesus movement actually started. And yet, here I was, a guy, a blues rock musician, who was trying to find ways to now share his newfound faith before it was popular, before the wave of the Jesus movement hit. So that's what I came out of, and I brought that into the experience, of course, with Cy and Jim.
When you're alone in a place no one knows, and you don't know just what you should do, looking for love that your friends fail to show, and wondering where you're going to. Now
turn to the friend. He'll prove in the end he's the only way that you will find that peace that's so fine, so fine. I've been so down that I seem to be caught in a battle that rages within. Fighting a war Jesus knew must be fought, yet knowing the Lord had to win. Now I'm so unworthy, so undeserving, but still, Lord, I know I must try before it's too late and I die. And when no one supports me, when all say bye-bye, I know message to you. I'm bringing that message to you. Fly on the wings of salvation, my friend, and live in the light of his love. Walk with the King of creation, my friend, give thanks for his peace from above.
This is Rick Riso, and I'm still bringing the message for those who have ears to hear.
You're listening to an interview with Rick Riso, the smooth-voiced frontman of Messenger, who became one of Christian music's most recognizable studio voices. And I asked Rick how to explain his rich legacy from, well, the days of early Jesus music.
You know, how you stand out to me, Rick, is that you bridge Christian pop and funk and soul and worship with a strong studio vocal presence, and you became really widely known as a, as you said earlier, a session vocalist, contributing many album projects, even film and TV vocal work. And so with that in mind and the help that you had, I'm looking through the list here. You 15 albums, or at least it looks to me like, you know, you had Messenger. A lot of people thought Bringing the Message was the first album. It was actually number two. The New
Right.
Tom was first.
Then
yes, you did your solo, Gotta Have the Real Thing, Shouting at the Walls in 86, and went on through with you and Kathy playing and doing worship.
Right.
Gosh, all the way through this list, and great songs. But let's talk about, just for a moment, The New Has Come. That was the actual first album. You were kind of new, a new track, new sound. So I guess the question I was kind of asked is, what was it like being the, you know, the vocalist for Messenger, and what you were trying to do to break into, probably didn't even think about it at the time, the Jesus movement, all the different styles of music that were coming about during that time?
Well, you know, Jerry, that's very kind of you to allude to those things, and I appreciate it very much. Our history is what it is, and as you've heard this said, it is definitely his story working through our stories, and our life story, I should say, as he creates that. You know, the uniqueness of Messenger was when I was at Fuller Seminary there at that time is when I had moved to Los Angeles, and we were doing work, doing some small things. You know, churches would have us come in and we would share the music that God had given us. One of the highlights of what Cy and I felt was going to be absolutely essential in our music was going to make sure that it was very, very word-centered. And on many interviews, people have asked me, I feel a lot of Bible, if you will, inside your songs, both when Cy and I were writing together and individually when we wrote songs for Messenger. And the reason for that is fundamental. I've said it before, Jerry, and I'm going to say it again for your listeners. God has promised to bless his word, not necessarily mine, which is not to say that what we have to offer is not important. It just, in most cases, unless his touch is on it, and I think you'd agree, it doesn't have life-giving or life-changing power. When a song like The New Has Come was presented to me, and although Cy wrote that song in particular, we kind of crafted it together. We wanted it to be something that was definitely delivered from the heart. And I feel like, you know, we got there on that song. It was more of a, you know, at that point, he said, I really feel this needs to be, as you had used the word, crooning, in the best sense of the word. It was delivered from the heart with sincerity. And the people that were sort of my vocal mentors, of course, in those days were people like Tony Bennett, of course, Mr. Sinatra, Nat Cole. All those influences, even Lou Rawls to a degree, for me were influences in my the way that I would deliver that kind of, vocal in a song like The New Has Come. But there were other songs as well that allowed me to sort of express my musical vocal latitudes. And that was also a lot of fun as well. So, but The New Has Come is a very, very special song, and I thank God for it.
Everything has to come from him. I have just begun to see that he gave me everything I'll ever need. When he sent his son to die for me, there is nothing that I can do. Faith in Jesus is the key. So I'll place my trust in him alone to do his work. Died so he could live in me, his life completing mine till they are one. So I will die to sin and live for him. The old life fades away, the new has come. When I'm weak, his spirit gives the everlasting power that I lean upon to do his will. That's the treasure inside of me. Power that comes from God alone.
the new has come. Messenger. First, a short break to remind you how to reach me at Full Circle to respond, share, pray, or support this radio ministry. Go to www.fullcirclejesusmusic.com. That's fullcirclejesusmusic.com. We're also heard on many podcast platforms, and your tax-exempt support really helps. Thanks. I'm having a conversation with Rick, reflecting on how difficult the Christian music industry can be. I'll play a more recent song from 1994 with Rick, his wife Kathy, Choose to Forgive. And that addresses how we navigate this journey.
You know, I kind of think that I see it as bringing the message and the new has come more directly, even maybe evangelistic. Mm-hmm. And matching, you know, the Jesus music era's emphasis on testimony.
Sure.
And proclamation. Would that be pretty accurate?
You know, that's very well framed, Jerry. I agree with that.
And because of that, I think that, you know, you had to evolve as well as the movement did before CCM actually was even called CCM.
That's right.
That's amazing.
I remember those days.
That's true. But so many albums you've had to choose from. So we're probably going to focus on this classic oldies show, one of the earlier things, although a lot of your stuff goes way back into the late 90s and other things as well, and things you do currently. And we'll talk about that as well. But I want to ask about how you transitioned from Messenger into a solo project in 1985, I believe. It was Got to Have the Real Thing, right, on Orchard?
That's right. Yes, yes. You know, Messenger came to a conclusion, if you will. We were together technically for about 5 years.
Okay.
And it came down to the point where we had an unfortunate, there's really no way. I'll try to be as diplomatic as I possibly can be. Messenger had a unique opportunity, which presented itself to us. Messenger was signed for a number of albums on Light Records. And the vice president of Light Records at that time was probably one of the best-known studio singers in Los Angeles for decades. Bill Cole was his name. He worked very, very closely with Ralph Carmichael. And when Bill had gotten wind of us somehow, I think it was he'd seen us in a church somewhere. We had a meeting with him, and he said, you know, Rick, I know that you're in seminary. He says, tell you what, when you finish up in a year or so, because that was my second year, he said, why don't you come see me? Cy and I had a meeting with Bill, and he basically said, you know, I believe that God's hand is on you guys. I've seen a lot of people, and I've seen a lot of musical talent, but he says, you have a unique offering to bring, and I'd like to be a part of that. Introduce us to Ralph, who immediately got what we were doing. The problem with that was this, Jerry. We were sort of grandfathered in to Light Records. There was no signing deal. There was no upfront cash advance. Our first budget, which is kind of laughable and gives you an idea, had we not had studio experience, both Jim, Cy, myself, it would have been next to impossible. We called in every imaginable favor to do the record, The New Has Come. Our budget was $3,000. I know cats that can't even do a song, a demo for $3,000 then, let alone now. But we did. And it kind of blew everybody's mind what we delivered, and Bill was greatly proud. Then a little bit of time went by, and we began to add musicians to it. The sound palette began to expand, deepen, and be expressed in a little different modality, if you will. At that point, Andre Crouch had just done the Live in London album, and of course he was on Light Records as well. It got the attention of EMI International. They reached out at that point to Light Records and had a conversation with Bill Cole, saying, listen, we don't know anything about you guys. Of course, they're the big kids on the international block, but we want you to send us, EMI, your catalog. And he sent everybody at that time, because we were signed before Sweet Comfort, but Sweet Comfort, not only did they get all the attention, they got all the money. We didn't get any of it. So when we did bring in the message, we got a little greater budget. I think it was kind of laughable, but it was about $12,500, $13,000 to do that whole package, which was pretty impressive to have the Seawind Horns and all the other friends that we had do that. But all that to say that EMI got our album, Bringing the Message, and they were very interested. They said, you know something? We're going to pass on your catalog, but there's one group we want to talk to you about. And he said, who's that? Messenger. We would like to see if we would have the rights to distribute Messenger's project, and we want to release Bring in the Message in the European and beyond markets. Of course, we were thrilled. Unfortunately, we had bad management advice. We got publicity pictures taken of us. I think there were six or seven of us at that point. And we went in to meet with Bill, and again, you can edit this or keep it however you wish to do it, but it is the truth. There are bumps in the road, ladies and gentlemen. One of the things that I have discovered over the years, Jerry, and I think you will attest to this, there are Christians within the music industry. There is not a Christian music industry. It is run by corporate mindset. And once that mindset is superimposed over the biblical model, we're in trouble. And that's kind of what happened, because we went there and said, listen, all we want, we've got seven guys here. Maybe we can get a, $3,500, $5,000 advance, because they're wanting to release our single worldwide. And we got to give these guys some hope. You know, we're living on a shoestring. Bill did something that in all my years and all the, I've never had anything like that happen before. Close, but nothing like it. Including when I was signed as a Motown artist with Berry Gordy as my manager at Motown Records in the late 80s. He picked up the phone, called London, England, and in front of us said, you know, I know you're waiting for the contract and agreement with Messenger. I just need to let you know right now that that deal is off, and they will be off our label as they're being asked to terminate their relationship with us today. He put down the phone and he said, okay, guys, you've outgrown your britches. You need to go downstairs and settle up whatever you need to settle up with the finance department. Cy and I looked at each other after giving almost 5 years of our life, pretty rough journey, having a progressive sound that was biblically based, but not as embraced as we hoped as it would be by the mainstream of contemporary Christian music. So we had the unfortunate joy of being a pioneer that never quite got that to the point of a full acceptance. So the reason I tell you that story is that there's texture behind my testimony, as there is for all of us. I made a choice long ago, as you did, brother. I'm either going to get bitter or I'm going to get better. And that happens by making the choice, of, like the song that I wrote many years ago, Choose to Forgive. I have chosen to never look back, never stand in judgment of any of my so-called Christian brothers in the music industry that have stepped on me, besmirched my name, said things that you can't even imagine, because I know the bigger picture. And that really comes to play when you're in the music business. You need to let the main event be the main event, and that is the Lord Jesus.
What we say to each other in anger alone can't eat away at the heart of our home. Oh, the enemy searches for that which in time will destroy the blessed union our Lord God has joined. So we must choose to forgive, placing all pride aside, and with His love decide to forgive, choose to forgive, life and blessing.
Decide to forgive.
Hi, I'm Rick Riso from Messenger, and you're listening to Full Circle with Jerry Bryant, taking you back to where it all began.
Welcome back to the second half of Full Circle with special guest Rick Riso and the admonition that we need to take into account, hey, it's time to take a stand and fight.
Standing at the battle line, I know what should be done. Walls not seen with human eyes must be overcome. More than visions in my mind. Sounds crazy, but it's true. You won't understand what I must do. Just playing some imaginary games. There are words that through the power of his name will make them start to fall. Spirits of the darkness hide in shadows of the truth. With walls of jealousy and pride, they rise to conquer you. A soldier of the light, fighting for the prize. I know you never win with compromise. So you will see me shouting at the walls. You'll hear me shouting at the walls. And though it seems there's nothing there, and I'm a fool just yelling in the air, just playing some imaginary game. There are words that through the power of his name will make them start to fall. And if it seems a senseless waste of time to keep on shouting at something that's pretend, when your life is on the borderline, it's worth fighting for.
A silent majority. It's time to shout at the walls on Full Circle with special guest Rick Riso. Say, this would be a great time to have you shout out to us. If you're listening to Full Circle, regardless of what platform you hear us on, you could even go to Facebook and like us and then get the word out to others. Just check us out at www.FullCircleJesusMusic.com. That's FullCircleJesusMusic.com. Don't leave out the Jesus. Now, the shows are free to share and enjoy, but your continued prayer, giving on a one-time basis or monthly, helps so much to share the early Jesus music that, well, for some who've never heard the show, or they want to go back to listen again to a past episode. Thanks so much. And someone recently wrote and said, I'll underwrite your next show if you'll interview this particular artist that I've always loved. So I'm working on that. All you have to do is just let me know when you get in touch with us on Full Circle. Now let's go back to the interview with Rick Riso.
I want to move into, of course, the album that really got a lot of people's attention, Shouting at the Walls. You know, I remember that song because I preached a sermon one time, Shout at the Darkness.
Oh, and I love it.
And it was really important that I got that out to say, you know what, we sometimes do make our noise known in a proper way, and other times we're barking at a lot of, you know, other dogs around the room.
Yeah.
That just don't need our attention. So you got to find the balance in that, don't you?
The expression that I was able to give stylistically in terms of musicality in Gotta Have the Real Thing was sort of accelerated on a couple levels with Shouting at the Walls. Not only was I growing deeper in my faith, but I was also becoming more and more involved in a number of other musical pursuits and working with some really great studio buddies and just prolific musicians that would then be on projects, whatever they were, and they'd bring me in to be a vocalist. So I reciprocated by asking a lot of them to appear on the Shouting at the Walls, in particular the Shouting at the Walls album. And one of the things that became clear to me was that I wanted to broaden the scope of my musical reach on Shouting at the Walls. I wanted to come at it still really, you know, word-centric, if you would, being infused with biblical truth, but I wanted to have a sort of a larger, wider net. And so expanding my musical filters, I had a lot of greater musical latitudes, and I think I went to some deeper places. I had some life experiences that really influenced some of the songs on that album.
So let's take a big drink and listen to that track right now. Gotta Have the Real Thing. No substitutes.
My heart sing. I don't want no substitution.
gotta have the real thing.
You have done your homework, my friend. As always, I appreciate that, the diligence. But you know, Jerry, that is so interesting. And thank you for remembering. It's a blessing to be with someone that remembers, one of my favorite words. And it's funny because, you know, we're not going back 5 or 10 years. This is a long time ago now. But nonetheless, you do remember. And because of the fact that, you know, I don't know if you're aware of the fact that for more than 20, almost 25 years of my life, I made my living as a jingle singer. I sang jingles for Albertson's grocery stores, for, you know, all kinds of, you know, soup to nuts, auto dealerships, major corporations, you know, etc. But one of the ones that I thought to myself, you know, there was a very significant advertising campaign that Coca-Cola used, and you're very familiar with it. Coke is the real thing. And I thought, you know, I found the real thing in Jesus. Why not put this together? And so we did. And when I wrote that song, you know, obviously my influences were pretty clear. Big Earth, Wind & Fire guy. I mean, loved Al Jarreau's work, knew some of the session guys that worked on his album. So, and a few of them actually played on my albums as well. So that influence was there. Gino Vannelli, obviously, in a lot of those songs. But in particular, the joy factor in Gotta Have the Real Thing, to me, still after 40 years, reads really well these days. I mean, I put the track on the other day, and Brad Cole's arrangement, you know, Brad and Phil Collins, music director now for Goodnight, almost 35 years, I guess. And he was very involved in both The Real Thing and, of course, Shouting at the Walls as well. But that kind of influence musically was married to the joy of the truth of what happens when we give our lives to Jesus. And when you find the real thing, you know you gotta have it and you wanna share it.
I wanna ask about other session work. Like, John's been on my show before. Uh-huh. One of my favorite singers of all time,
yes,
Bonte, dear friend. And I was just curious about other groups you've worked through with during those seasons, like with Petra, the Archers, Fireworks, Steve Archer in particular.
Well, you know, it's fascinating, Jerry. I have always likened it to circles. There are, when every once in a while, it's like the circles merge. You can see that, like the iconic, you know, example that we see of the Olympics, when you see the joined circles together, they're interwoven inside the other circle. That's the way it was for me, especially for decades as a studio singer here in Los Angeles, that sometimes you would work, especially in the Christian arena, you would work, for example, you would work with Maranatha. I knew a number of the producers on Maranatha. Stan Endicott was a guy that I used to work with an awful lot. Dan Collins, of course, very dear, close friend. He and Jamie are both. They were on our board of ministry directors, as a matter of fact, Dan and Jamie, great, great friends. But you work with people like that, and then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, the circles separate. Sometimes they bump back together, and sometimes they don't. Well, two of the ones that seem to always have me, at least for a couple decades, working within that realm, and as a result, working with a lot of other singers and in other groups as a background support or a featured soloist, were Maranatha Records and Hosanna Integrity Music. Those two, particularly those two labels at the time, I probably did 30 or 40 at least appearances on various Maranatha projects, and probably about the same with Hosanna Integrity. To date, I've probably appeared on about 150 Christian projects as either a featured soloist and or a background vocalist. So the joy that brought me, Jerry, has been the fact that I've always been a guy that's concentrated on trying to let the main event be the main event. And as a result, I've sung in all kinds of different denominations of churches. I'm a bridge builder, not a bridge burner. And so that has given me a lot of musical tread and a lot of ministry tread over the years with other people that have worked in the business, many of which I love to this day.
This is Jerry Bryant, and I hope you've enjoyed the insight Rick has shared on this episode. Of course, I remind you, you can reach me at www.FullCircleJesusMusic.com if you have questions or response. I'm getting close to the end of the show, but I don't want to forget this important song that will balance our journey. More and more we find that we're called to give it all for Jesus. That requires taking a stand for the truth of God's Word, as this next song reminds us.
We are a chosen race.
Take a Stand and Fight was a song that was born out of course, walking with Jesus. We realized very quickly that not only have we been introduced into a new way of living, we also have been introduced to a new enemy. And that enemy is a vicious enemy. He's the enemy of our souls, as we know, the evil one, or the devil, as some folks call him. Nonetheless, we have everything we need, provided that we utilize it. And when I thought to myself, yeah, you know, Take a Stand and Fight was a song that was born out of the ongoing realization that we need to employ the weapons that God has given us to defend ourselves against the enemy. First and foremost, his word, you know. And I think Take a Stand and Fight was a clarion call, number one, to me. It was me addressing myself saying, okay, bud, suit up and let's go into battle. And let's do so in the power and the might of Jesus' name. Not with all your well wishes, not armed with just good thoughts, but with the word of God and with a determination to come against the enemy and know that the victor, Jesus himself, is going to give you the victory when you take a stand and fight. Well, I'm still doing some session work. I'm doing everything I can musically to sort of stay afloat. I also, about 3 years ago, decided to follow the trails of my dad and three brothers who were in the real estate business. I think that was ambitious. That has been an extremely difficult path for me. I'm staying with it because I'm working with a great core of people. Probably 50% of them at the office there are believers. And my branding phrase is, I just want to be a link in the chain of God's blessing for you. I don't want to be the chain. I just want to hook you up to a blessing. That's it.
From the dawning of daylight till the evening's refrain, all creation sings praises to the name above all names. In the smallest of details, or through the storms, you remain. Always there interceding, guiding me through joy and pain. Though the winds of change will blow, feel them blowing. There's one thing without a doubt I know. Lord, you're faithful, so faithful to me. You're so
Rick, for being on the show. Hey, thanks for listening. Until next time, keep your eyes on the sky and let your light shine. This is Jerry Bryant. Full Circle is recorded in the Jesus Solid Rock Studios in Nashville, Tennessee. Full Circle is a JSR production.
This is Full Circle.